are so excited that you have joined us online today for our July series, Reset. It's the middle of the year, and it's time for our halftime adjustments. We pray that as you listen to this series, you will be challenged and encouraged to refocus and finish this year strong.
Hey, I hope that you're not just saying that declaration on Sunday morning. I hope you are saying that declaration and speaking those powerful truths over your life and over your children each and every day. And you may be seated right now. We're going to get into the Word. If you have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 is where we'll be going in just a moment. If you don't have a Bible, no problem. We're going to have all of the scriptures on the big Bible in the sky right behind me. Right now, we are in our current series of messages entitled Reset. Reset, because we have just entered into the first month of the second half of the year. And sometimes what we really need is just some halftime adjustments, just a moment where we can reset our thinking and reset our attitude. And we've been sharing this quote over the last few weeks, and I think it's so good. And I want to share it again, is that this, that every sunset is an opportunity to reset. Every sunset is an opportunity to reset. How many of you understand that January is not a magical month? It's not a magical month. It's not the only month that change can happen in your life. If it's worth changing in January, it's worth changing today. If it's worth starting in January, it's worth starting today. If it's worth stopping in January, it's worth stopping today. There is nothing magical about January, but most people just use January as their reset month. But that means they're letting every month pass by with a needed reset, but they're not resetting anything. They're letting a year pass by, and a whole year goes by, and they're just waiting until next January, January 2018. I'm going to get some things right in my life. Hey, let's not wait till January 2018. Let's hit reset today. Let's hit reset during this season of our life. You say, well, why do we need reset? Because what we are attempting to do is not easy. What we are attempting to do is not easy. If it were easy, your attention would never drift and your attitude would never dip. But the reality is that our attention often drifts and our attitude often dips. Why? Because the race that we are trying to run and the race that we are trying to win, it is not an easy race. Running a race that pleases God every day, running a race that is worthy of our calling, running a race that honors Him in every decision that we make, that is not an easy race. And it is so easy for us to get discouraged, so easy for us to lose track, so easy for us to get lost in our own thoughts and in our own behaviors that we get to a place where we're like, how did I get here? Whenever I get to that place, it's time to hit reset. And that's why we need to reset. You need to reset every day. You need to reset every week. You need to use this season right now. The month of July is a perfect month for you to begin to reset some things in your life. Let's go to Matthew chapter 7. I'll be reading from the Amplified Version, and we'll start reading in verse 7. It says, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds. And to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. I want to talk to you today about reset your initiative. Reset your initiative. Let's pray. Father, I ask you in these next few moments that you would do what only you can do. God, mold us and make us into everything that you created and designed for us to be. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And with faith and expectation, everybody in the room said, amen. Amen. You know, one of the most difficult but yet most necessary things you need to do whenever you feel behind, whenever you feel stuck, whenever you feel defeated, whenever you feel overwhelmed, is to reset your initiative. To reset your initiative. And I want to give you three definitions for the word initiative, and we're going to put them on the screen, and maybe you want to take a picture of them on your phone, or maybe you want to jot them down in your notes. And we believe in taking notes here, because it's not just about having a good experience on Sunday morning. It's about you taking the tools and the practicality of God's word and applying it in your life on Tuesday afternoon and on Thursday morning and all week long. So I want you to take notes today, and I want you to jot down these three definitions of initiative, because we need to understand exactly what we are talking about as we reset our initiative. The first definition is this: the ability to assess and initiate things independently. The ability to assess and initiate things independently. And I want you to draw your attention to the word independently. That means that it must be done by you. Your spouse cannot reset your initiative. Your boss cannot reset your initiative. If you are going to take the initiative, it must be done by you and only you. It must be done independently. Here's the second definition for initiative. It is the power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. The power or opportunity to act or take charge before others do. And I don't want you just to see it as other people. How many of you understand there are some other things that want to take charge? Fear wants to take charge. Anger wants to take charge. Discouragement and depression wants to take charge. Regret, shame, condemnation, these things want to come in and take charge. But whenever you take the initiative, you take the power and the opportunity to say, no, wait a minute, I'm going to act first. I'm not going to let fear dictate my life, shame dictate my life. No, why? Because I'm taking the initiative. Here's the third definition of the word initiative that we're going to focus on today, and that is an act or a strategy intended to resolve a difficulty or improve a situation. An act or a strategy intended to resolve a difficulty or improve a situation. A fresh approach to something. In the first two definitions, we see that we can take the initiative. It is all about the act. It is all about taking power. It is all about moving. But we see here in the third definition that there must be a strategy. There must be a plan in place for a fresh approach, a plan to improve the situation. And so as we talk our way through this today of resetting the initiative, we're going to focus on these two things. Resetting your initiative is all about reclaiming the power and recreating the plan. Let me say that again. Resetting your initiative is all about you reclaiming the power and recreating the plan. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about in terms of resetting the initiative. A football team comes into the locker room, and they come into the locker room at halftime, and they're losing by a considerable margin. And things just didn't go the way that they had planned for them to go in the first half. Things were not the way that they thought they were going to be. Maybe there was unexpected injuries to key players. Maybe the coaches or some of the players made some bad decisions that led to crucial mistakes and very critical moments. And in that locker room, they only have one choice if they desire to make a comeback. And that choice that they have to make is to reclaim the power of the moment and to recreate a brand new plan. It's the only opportunity they have. They have to lay a hold of the power to change, and they have to recreate a plan that's going to put that change into action. And when we talk about reclaiming the power, what they really need to do in that locker room is to change the momentum. You understand that momentum is within your control. Many people don't know that. Many people think, well, I'm just going to sit here and wait till the momentum shifts. No, when the momentum shifts in an athletic event, it's because somebody made something good happen. You understand that? The momentum just doesn't shift on its own. It's because somebody goes out there and makes a great play. Somebody goes out there and gets a hit. Somebody hits a three-pointer. Somebody does something, and now the announcers say, oh, the momentum has shifted to the other side because somebody did something. It's the same way in your life. You can't sit and wait till the momentum shifts. No. What you have to do is you have to take the power you need to change the momentum of your life. The same way that has to happen in the locker room. And then they've got to recreate a plan, because the plan that they came into the game with is not working very well. What they thought was going to happen is not happening. And now we need to recreate the plan. But the truth about that moment that we need to take away is the score is what it is. They can't just change the score. The score is what it is, but if they will reset their initiative, they can still win the game. Why? Because the game is not over yet. And in life, maybe right now in this season of life, you are down, you are disappointed, you are discouraged. Maybe you walked in today and you're feeling a little overwhelmed, a little overcome by life. Maybe you've made some crucial mistakes that have put you in some bad situations, or maybe somebody around you made some bad decisions that have put you in a bad situation. The reality is today, the score is what it is, but I've got good news for you, because your life is not over. The game is not over, and if we are willing to reset our initiative, our second half does not have to look like our first half. But at halftime, many teams make a huge mistake. They would rather rehearse their intentions than reset their initiatives. They would rather rehearse the intentions about how they thought it was going to go. Rehearse their intentions about how solid that game plan was. Rehearse their intentions about coming into the game instead of resetting their initiative in the moment. And people make the exact same mistake. People make the mistake of rehearsing their intentions rather than resetting their initiatives. The intentions that the team started the game with and the intentions that you started this year with are in the past. They are in the past. And sure, they were good intentions. Whoever starts with bad intentions, whoever comes into the game expecting to be behind at halftime, whoever starts a year with going, man, this is just going to be a horrible year, and by the time I get to July, I plan on being completely miserable and fed up with life. Nobody comes into the year with those intentions. But in July, your good intentions can become your biggest distractions. The good intentions of January can be your biggest distractions of July. Rehearsing and living in your intention means that you can't pay attention to what really matters in the moment. See, that's why it's a distraction. Because whenever you are rehearsing all of your intentions, whenever you are living in all of your good intentions, but I didn't plan for it to be this way, and I didn't want it to be this way, and I'm living back in my intentions. I can even go back not to January of 2017, but I might even go back 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and I can rehearse my good intentions and say, oh, I never thought I was going to be here. But your good intentions can become your biggest distractions, because they take your focus off what your focus needs to be, and your focus needs to be right now in this moment and not looking back in the past. See, now is the time for you to reset your initiative. It's not time for us to talk about our intentions. It's not time to talk about how good our intentions were and how good our resolutions were and how pretty our goals are hanging on our refrigerator. This is not the time for that. This is the time for us to reset our initiative. What does that look like for us? It looks like the exact same way that it does for that football team at halftime. If you are going to reset your initiative, it means that you have to reclaim the power and you have to recreate the plan. You have to reclaim the power and recreate the plan. Let's talk about reclaiming the power real quick. There's two areas of this that I want to hit on this morning. The first place that you need to reclaim the power is you need to reclaim the power that comes from God. You need to reclaim the power that comes from God. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. We find this in Ephesians chapter 1, and this is what he writes. He says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. Today, if you believe Him, if you believe in Him, there is incredible power that is available. This is the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. He goes on in this letter in Ephesians chapter 3, and he says, I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You see, the enemy wants you to remain feeling defeated and powerless to change the future. But the reality today is that Jesus defeated death and he gave you power so that you could have a future. The enemy wants you feeling powerless today so that you will not step into the future that God has. But today, God wants you to feel powerful today, empowered by his Spirit, so that you will have the faith and courage to step into the future that he created you for. See, you have supernatural power dwelling on the inside of you. The scripture says it's the same power that raised Christ from the dead, and it is dwelling in every single one who believes. So it is time for us today to reclaim the power that God has already provided for us. The Bible says this in 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, by his divine power, God has given us everything. Say everything. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all. Say all. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. This is amazing. God has given you access by his divine power into his divine power. God has given you access through his divine power into his divine power. Because he is so powerful, he created an entryway for you so that you could access his power whenever you needed it. And today, you have everything that you need for living the life that God has called you to live. But you know what the enemy does? The enemy lies to you about who you are so that you will not take hold of what you have the right to access. The enemy lies to you about who you are. He lies to you about your identity. And he says, that power is not for you. That power is for the real Christians. That power is for people who are more holy. That power is for people who are more righteous. That power is for the pastors and the missionaries. That power is for those people. That power is not for you. And he lies to you about your identity, because if he can convince you that you are not who God said you were, then you won't access what God said you can have. So he is always lying to you about who you are, because he knows in the moment that you access that divine power that gives you the power to accomplish everything that God wants you to accomplish, all of a sudden addictions will be overcome, struggles will be overcome, problems will be fixed by the divine power of God that's available to each and every one of us. You see, we have to reclaim that power. You see, it's one thing for you to know about the power, but you got to access the power. You can sit here and clap and say, wow, that's good, I believe that. But if you're not accessing that power on Tuesday morning, it doesn't matter. You got to access that power on a daily basis. You got to lay claim to what is rightfully yours. We got to access that power. We got to reclaim the power from God. Here's the other type of power that we have to claim. We have to reclaim the power that comes from taking responsibility. There is power in taking responsibility. Hear me today. You won't have the ability to initiate until you take responsibility for where you are going. You will not have the ability to initiate, to live with initiative, until you take responsibility for where you are going. Notice, I did not say that you have to take responsibility for where you are, because sometimes you didn't put yourself here. Sometimes it was not your choice that your spouse left you. It was not your choice that your business went bankrupt. It was not your choice. It was none of your doing. But today you find yourself sitting in a place where you don't really have any response. You don't have to take responsibility for where you are, but you always have to be willing to take responsibility for where you're going. Hear me clearly. This is one of the key principles of you moving to where God wants you to move. You are always responsible for your response. You are not always responsible for how you got here. You're not always responsible for where you are today, but you are 100% responsible for where you're going. You are responsible for your response. And taking responsibility for your future is one of the most empowering things that you will ever do in your life. And this is why the enemy wants your attention on all of your misfortunes that have happened to you in the past. He wants your attention on how you were hurt, how you were cheated, how you were done wrong. Why? Because he wants you to feel powerless. Because he knows that whenever you take responsibility for where you're going, when you take responsibility for your future, now you have been empowered. And whenever you are empowered, you can begin to live a different life. And he does not want you to be empowered. The thing that will empower you is your future. Your past will never empower you. Your past will always weigh you down. Your past will always make you a slave. But your future is what will free you up. Your future is what will give you hope. Your future what will give you power. That's why the enemy is always trying to get you to look back over your shoulder, because if you're looking back here, you don't have the power you need to move out there. So the enemy wants to keep you powerless. God wants you to be powerful. So what do we have to do to be powerful? God says you got to take responsibility for where you're going. You might not have had anything to do with where you are today, but you have everything to do with where you're going. The moment that you take responsibility, you begin to move forward in a brand new way. We got to reclaim. We got to reclaim the power. Here's the second thing we have to do if we're going to reset our initiative. After we reclaim the power, we got to recreate the plan. We got to recreate the plan. You need a clear strategy. You need a clear plan. Earlier this year, I preached two messages in our Again series. And you can go on our website and find it. You can go on iTunes and find it. It's in our Again series. I preached a message called The Game Plan for Your Gain. The Game Plan for Your Gain. And I would really encourage you. I laid out very practical tips of how do you create a plan for your life moving forward. How do you create a plan for your family. How do you create a plan? If you were not here, I encourage you, go back and listen to that. And then the week after that, I did one on halftime adjustments, because sometimes you got to adjust the plan. And whenever you get into a situation of adjusting the plan, whenever you get into a halftime, in the middle of a year, in the middle of a situation, in the middle of a circumstance, in the middle of your life, so many times when we get in the middle, it's when we need to reset. And resetting is always going to demand action. But that's good news, because God is a God of action. God is a God of initiating. You go to the very beginning of your Bible. Whenever God created the heavens and the earth, what did God do? God took the initiative. God took the initiative to create. You get to Genesis chapter 12, and God begins to call out to a man by the name of Abraham, and he calls out to him. He says, hey, I want to make you my own people. I want to call you out of the land that you're in. I want to give you a brand new land. God took the initiative. In Exodus, you begin to read about God showing up in a burning bush, speaking to Moses there, and he says, I want you to go to Egypt. I want you to talk to Pharaoh. I want you to demand him to let my people go, and I want you to bring them out of bondage, bring them out of captivity, and take them into the promised land. Whenever God begins to show up, God is always initiating. He's always taking the initiative. And God didn't stop there, because in Romans 5 verse 8, we read this, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. God initiated our redemption by sending Jesus. While we were in the midst of our sin, while we were in the midst of our darkest moment, when we were in the midst of our rebellion and disobedience, Jesus did not die for you when you were cleaned up and lifting your hands in church on Sunday morning. Jesus died for you in your very worst moment. That's when God sent him. Why? Because God took the initiative. He didn't wait for you to say, God, I need a Savior. And he said, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. No, he took the initiative of sending Jesus, so that one day, whenever you cried out to him, the deal was already done and the door was already open for you. God took the initiative. And then when we see when Jesus came to earth, Jesus took the initiative. Jesus took the initiative. He had the same heart of his Father. Jesus comes down and Jesus didn't just sit around in his house waiting for the disciples to come knock on his door. He wasn't waiting for the movement to come to him. Jesus was the movement. Jesus was moving. You can read in Matthew chapter 4. Jesus begins to call the disciples to himself, and he's walking around the Sea of Galilee, and he finds Andrew and Peter. And he says, hey, come, follow me. And they drop their nets, and they walk away. He says, I'm going to teach you how to fish for people, not just fish for fish. And he walks a little bit further, and he sees James and John. He says, come on, follow me. And they walked away from their nets, and they began to follow Jesus. Jesus took the initiative. Jesus called the people, Jesus trained the people, and then Jesus sent the people. And we see this with the Great Commission in Matthew 28, when Jesus appears to his disciples after he's been resurrected. He says, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to preach the gospel. I want you to make disciples. I want you to train them how to live their life to please me. I'm going to be with you through it all. This is what I want you to do. And man, it is an absolutely amazing thing that Jesus sends them out. And then what do the disciples do? The disciples take initiative. God took initiative. Jesus takes initiative. Now the disciples take initiative. How do you know the disciples took initiative? Because there's a book of the Bible called the Book of Acts. Okay, that is the Acts, the actions of the disciples, the actions of the apostles. And we get to see, they didn't just sit around in Jerusalem and say, oh, we believe that people are going to come from everywhere to hear this great news. No, they went everywhere to take them the news of hope, the news of restoration, the news of redemption. They went everywhere to take them the good news of the salvation of Jesus Christ. They took the initiative to get the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. So if God took initiative and Jesus took initiative and his followers took initiative, should it be any surprise to us today that God demands initiative from us? Should it surprise us at all that God would demand us to take initiative? Do you know that your faith journey started with initiative? This is what the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. God opened the door for you by his initiative, but he said, you have to take initiative if you want to receive the gift that I have for you. You have to believe in your heart. You have to confess with your mouth. It is the initiative that you took that opened the door for your spiritual journey. But it's not just a one-time thing with God. It's not you just taking initiative once. No, it demands initiative from us each and every day, because this is what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. It is by engaging God in faith. It is by believing that he is who he says he is and that he can do what he says he can do and that he will reward those who earnestly, wholeheartedly, and diligently seek after him on a daily basis. It is when we believe that we get to walk with him and we get to please him, and that does not happen without faith. Do you realize faith is your daily initiator? It's every single day that I wake up and I say, today I choose to believe. Today I choose to walk with God. Today I choose to believe that he is who he says he is. I know it's raining, and I know it doesn't look good in my life, and I know the storm is out there, and I know the wind is blowing, and I know accusations are flowing, and I know people are lying about me, and I know things are going difficult. I know all of that, but I choose to believe that he is who he says he is, and I choose to build my life upon his word, that he can do everything that he says he can do, and he will reward me for diligently seeking after him. That is our daily initiation. That's how you continue to walk with God. Amen. It's not because you prayed a prayer one day and said, Jesus, I believe that you're Lord. No, it's daily taking the initiative to walk in the faith that God wants you to walk in so that you can walk with him and please him in every way of your life. I believe that's why Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7. Jesus was giving us a hint. He was giving us a very spiritual insight in Matthew 7 when he said, ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, it will be opened. Jesus is warning us about the passive route of life. He is warning us about settling in to saying, well, I asked, well, I sought, well, I knocked, I asked a year ago, I sought a decade ago, I knocked last week, and Jesus is saying, don't get caught up in the trap of yesterday. Don't get caught up in the trap of your good intentions. Don't get caught up in the trap of looking back over your shoulder. Instead, the only place that you need to live is in the moment. The only place that you need to live is in the present. And it doesn't matter how many times you asked before and how many times you sought before and how many times you knocked before. What are you doing right now in this moment? Are you asking? Are you knocking? Are you seeking? Are you taking the initiative today? Because Jesus said that's the way you're supposed to live. He's giving us a hint. What's he giving us a hint for? He's giving us a hint of the heart of the Father. Because God's an initiator. What God did for you yesterday, you realize God didn't run out of grace yesterday. God didn't run out of miracle working power yesterday. God didn't run out of hope yesterday. He didn't run out of peace yesterday. Whatever God did yesterday, whatever God did last year, whatever God did in your past, let me tell you, God wants to do a brand new thing in your life. But sometimes we get stuck in this place called the middle, whether you're in the middle of life, whether you're in the middle of the year, whether you're in the middle of trouble, whether you're in the middle of a situation, we get stuck here in the middle and we literally get stuck. And we get paralyzed. And when you get paralyzed, you feel powerless. And when you feel powerless, the enemy is winning in your life, because God created you to feel powerful. And he wanted you to feel powerful so bad that he said, I'm going to put my spirit in you. And it's going to be the same power that raised up my son from the dead. The same power that allowed him to conquer death, hell, and the grave. That same power is going to dwell on the inside of you. And so you have access to power this morning. You have the ability to take power over your future, because you're not looking back at your past anymore. You can reclaim the power by taking responsibility for where you're headed, for what direction you're moving in. You can take responsibility today for what God is wanting to do in you and through you as you move into your future. You can reclaim the power today. And you know what else you can do? You can recreate the plan. It's the only chance you have to win. If you're losing at halftime, you better not go out there with the same plan you had in the first half. You better recreate the plan. You better make some adjustments to the plan. What I'm doing right now is not working in my marriage. What I'm doing right now, it's not working with my children. What I'm doing right now, it's not working in my spiritual journey. What I'm doing right now, it's not working in these other areas of my life. What I'm doing is not, it's not working for me. How do you recreate the plan? Jesus gave us the key. He said, You seek and you keep on seeking. He said, you ask and you keep on asking. You knock and you keep on knocking. Why? Because he knows, as Destiny said a moment ago, that he is the answer. He's the answer for every heart issue. He's the answer for every marriage issue. He's the answer for every business issue. He's the answer for every problem in your life. And he says, I've got the answers and I've got what you need. The strength you need, I got it. The peace you need, I got it. The joy you need, I got it. The strategy you need, I got it. I got it all, but here's the only way you can get it. You got to knock today. You got to ask today. You got to seek after me today. And you've got to do it every single day. And that is the plan that we all have to adopt in our lives. That is my new strategy. Asking, seeking, knocking, waking up tomorrow and asking and seeking and knocking and waking up the next day and asking and seeking and knocking. And next week, what are you going to be doing? Asking and seeking and knocking. Why? Because I decided that this is my season of reset and it's time for me to reset my initiative. I can't settle where I am right now. I can't stay where I am. It's time for me to reset my initiative, to take courage and to take a new plan and to move boldly into the future that God has for me in my life. Come on, stand with me today. Come on, bow your heads just for a moment. When I feel the Holy Spirit so strongly upon this word today. Even as I was preparing, I could feel the weight and the intensity of this word for you, for your heart, for your mind, and for your life. And I know there's some people that walked in today and it's time for you to hit the reset button. It's time for you to reset your initiative. Today is that day. Today is the day for you to reset your initiative. Today is the day for you to reclaim the power that comes from God and to reclaim the power that comes from taking responsibility. Today is the day for you to begin to recreate the plan. Recreate the plan of asking, of seeking, of knocking. The plan is not crying over what could have been and what should have been. The plan is not reminiscing and rehearsing our good intentions and our good heart along the way. That is not the plan. Today the plan is to recreate the plan of action, of asking, of seeking, of knocking. Heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. Today's the day to take initiative. You know, the first initiative that you need to take if you've never taken the initiative, it's to begin your spiritual journey. It says, if you believe in your heart and if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe today, maybe somebody in this place, you say, I've never really experienced that in my life. I've never really wholeheartedly believed this message. I have never really confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Maybe you believe in God. Maybe you were even baptized when you were 7 years old, but you would say, I've never really made that commitment. My life definitely doesn't resemble that commitment. You say, today I want to confess with my mouth and I want to believe in my heart that Jesus is who he said he was and that he can do for me what he said that he could do, that he could wash all of my sins away, that he could give me a brand new life. Today, I'm not going to ask you to step out on the aisle. I'm not going to ask you to come down forward. But you say, Philip, you're talking to me right now, and it's time for me to initiate God in a brand new way. It's time for me to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. It's time for me to surrender my heart and my life to him. It's time for a brand new beginning in my life. And that's me today. You're talking right to me. I'm not going to ask you to step out in the aisle or come down front. Right there where you are, I just want to pray for you today. If I'm talking to you, come on, will you lift your hand up right now so I know who I'm praying for? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I need to believe in my heart. I need to confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. You can put your hands down. I know that there's some other people. You walked in here today. And it's just time for you to reset the initiative. If we just call it like it is, we've just gotten a little lazy. We've gotten a little lethargic. We're not seeking like we should seek. We're not asking like we should ask. We're not knocking like we should knock. Instead, we're complaining a little bit more. Instead, we're relaxing a little bit more. Instead, we're just settling a little bit more. We say today, it's time for me to reset my initiative. It's time for me to reclaim the power that God wants me to live with every single day. not just to know it's there, but to lay hold of it in my life, to ask Him for it, to seek it out, to knock and say, God, I need Your power today in my life. It's time for you to reclaim the power by taking responsibility. Taking responsibility of your future. Whatever happened in your past is in your past. However you got where you are today, the score is what the score is. But let me tell you, you can still win this game. You can still experience the glory of God. You can still experience the grace of God. You can still experience the plan and the purpose He has for your life by focusing on the responsibility of the future. And today, you can recreate the plan of saying, my plan is I'm going to wake up tomorrow. I'm going to seek God. I'm going to ask things for God. I'm going to knock on heaven's door, and I'm going to keep on. And keep on. And that is my brand new plan. And today, you know, I've got to reset my initiative. This word is for me. I'm resetting my initiative. I'm reclaiming the power. I'm recreating the plan. Come on, if that's you today, lift your hands right now all over this place. Say, that's me. It's time for, I'm hitting reset right now. I'm hitting the button. Resetting my initiative, reclaiming the power, recreating the plan. Come on, pray this prayer after me. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I need You like never before. I believe that You are who You say You are, and You can do what You say You can do. You are my Savior, and You are my Lord. Forgive me of my sins, and I am ready to reset my initiative. Reclaim the power and recreate the plan so that I can live a life that glorifies You in every way. Now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name here in just a moment as we initiate You with praise and with worship. God, that You would receive this worship that comes from our hearts today. And as we worship You, God, that You would lift up our heads and lift up our eyes and lift up our spirits and lift up our hope and lift up our dreams. And lift up our courage, and lift up our love, and lift up everything on the inside of us. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's lean into the presence of God.
Here at North Point Community Church, we believe in creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community through the message of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your support. If you would like more information, you can visit our website at ncc.team or follow us on any social media platform at CC North Point.